This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
Here we enlighten you with ayahs 36 through 38 from the Surah Nahl, recited by Qasim Razi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa laqad ba'athna fi kulli ummatin rasulan an i'budullaha wajtanibut-taghut. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةِ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ كذبين. إن تحرص على هداهم فإن الله لا يهدي من يضل وما لهم من ناصرين. وأقسموا بالله جهد أيمانهم لا يبعث الله من يموت بلى وعدا عليه حقا ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون بلى وعدا عليه حقا ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most compassionate. And certainly we raised in every nation an apostle, saying, Serve Allah and shun the Satan. So there were some of them who Allah guided, and there were others against whom error was due. Therefore travel in the land, then see what was the end of the rejecters. If you desire further guidance, yet surely Allah does not guide him who leads astray, nor shall they have any helpers. And they swear by Allah with the most energetic of their oath, Allah will not raise up him who dies. Yeah, is a promise binding on him quite true, but most people do not know.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines, new footage emerges showing unarmed Palestinian men waving white flags of surrender, fatally shot by Israeli troops and buried by a bulldozer near Gaza City. Jordanians gather outside the Israeli embassy in the capital Amman for the third consecutive night, calling on their government to cancel all treaties with Israel. And also in our headlines, Ireland strongly condemns Israel's crimes against Palestinians in Gaza, saying it will intervene in South Africa's genocide case against the regime at the ICJ. Hello and welcome everybody. The Israeli regime is facing condemnations after new footage emerged showing its forces fatally shooting unarmed Palestinian men on the Gaza beach and burying them by bulldozer. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has denounced Israel and called on the UN and international courts to hold the regime accountable for the crimes being committed in Gaza. It said the footage is, quote, further evidence of the scale of fascism and criminality that governs Zionist behaviors. America's largest Muslim civil liberties and advocacy organization has also deplored the killings. The Council on American-Islamic Relations, CARE, has demanded an international investigation into what it called heinous war crimes. The footage captured by a long-distance camera shows the men walking along the beach waving white cloth in a sign of surrender before Israeli troops shoot them dead. The regime soldiers then buried the victims with a bulldozer. Nearly 6 months into the Israeli genocide in Gaza, the regime continues with its bombing and shelling campaign against residential buildings and hospitals. Israel has carried out 8 massacres in 24 hours, resulting in the killing of 76 Palestinians and injuring 102 others. The regime attacked a greenhouse near Shabura refugee camp, killing 4 people there, including a woman. 7 Palestinians were also killed in an Israeli airstrike that destroyed a residential building in the western part of Gaza. Dozens were also injured in attacks on Al Zaytun neighborhood of Gaza City. The health system in Gaza is further pressured by Israeli attacks on hospitals. An attack on a building full of people near the Al-Shifa hospital led to deaths and trapped 6 children under the rubble. According to UNICEF, more than 13,000 children have been killed. The regime's onslaught on Gaza has claimed some 32,500 lives and injured more than 74,000 others since October the 7th. Our correspondent Moti Abu Musabeh is joining us now from Deir al-Bala in central Gaza to bring us up to speed on the recent Israeli aggression and the continued genocidal war that the Israeli regime is carrying out against the Palestinians in Gaza. Moti, the reports are indicating that Israel has carried out 8 more massacres just in the past 24 hours. Tell us more, please.
Yes, actually, the Israeli occupation forces, as usual, continued their air strikes and attacks against several areas of Gaza Strip. Those air strikes and incursions were intensified in Gaza City as multiple neighborhoods were targeted and hit relentlessly by the constant and continuous Israeli airstrikes that targeted Al-Shajaiya, Al-Zaytun, and Al-Nasr neighborhoods. The fresh attack in those areas actually was carried out in Al-Shajaiya neighborhood after the Israeli warplanes targeted and destroyed a residential building in that area, claiming the lives of at least three Palestinian civilians, in addition to dozens of the Palestinian injuries from the women and the children. In the meantime, the western parts of the city, particularly the surrounding areas of the Al-Shifa Medical Complex, were under heavy bombardments and attacks as the Israeli warplanes maintained their airstrikes on that area, in addition to the constant and the chronic gunfire and the shelling of the Israeli tanks, according to multiple eyewitnesses that the entire square and the entire vicinity of the Al-Shifa Medical Complex reduced to be mounds of the constant and the concentrated attacks that reached the buildings in that area. We are talking about relentless Israeli airstrikes that have never stopped for a while since the very beginning of that ground offensive against the Al-Shifa Medical Complex and the surrounding areas. Hundreds of the Palestinian residential buildings were destroyed and flattened to the ground in that area. In Jabalia refugee camp as well, the Israeli warplanes continued their airstrikes against the residential buildings. The most relentless airstrike targeted a store of the electrical devices. In Jabalia refugee camp, a big blaze erupted and ignited in that area. We are talking about massive destruction in the Jabalia refugee camp after those Israeli airstrikes. Here in the central area of Gaza Strip, the Israeli airstrikes were maintained against the northern part of Al-Nusayrat refugee camp and Al-Mughraga town, which is located, as you know, in the northern part of the central area of Gaza Strip. The Israeli warplanes continued their strikes amid heavy and constant artillery shelling that targeted that area. In the eastern part of Al-Burej refugee camp, the fierce clashes erupted between the Palestinian resistance and the Israeli occupation forces. It's worth mentioning that Al-Burej refugee camp also was subjected to a brutal ground offensive after the Israeli occupation forces attacked that area a couple of months ago. While when it comes to Khan Yunis city, particularly the western parts of the city, the Israeli warplanes also continued their airstrikes against the surrounding areas of the Nasser Medical Complex and Al-Amal town. As a result of that continuous and constant Israeli airstrikes and attacks, a Palestinian civilian was reportedly killed. Now they are taking that Palestinian dead body from the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital. As you can see, that many people are gathering these moments in order to mourn the Palestinian civilians. Rafah city as well was under heavy attacks and bombardments of the Israeli airstrikes. Several airstrikes targeted residential buildings in the eastern part of the city. So the Israeli airstrikes are still maintained in the same ferocity with the same prevalence across all areas of Gaza Strip, inflicting more death and destruction in the territories of the besieged enclave. Over to you.
Thank you, Moti Abu Musaba, joining us from Deir al-Balah. The Israeli military has confirmed the killing of one more soldier during an encounter with Palestinian resistance fighters on the ground in the Gaza Strip. The military says another trooper was also injured in southern Gaza. Elsewhere, the Palestinian resistance fighters targeted invading forces with mortar shells in central Gaza. The latest fatality brings to 254. The number of soldiers the regime has confirmed dead since launching the ground invasion of Gaza in November. Independent media outlets and Palestinians say the fatalities among the regime's troops are much higher than what Tel Aviv is hiding the real number to avoid public anger against the far-right ruling coalition. UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in the Occupied Palestinian Territories, Francesca Albanese, who presented a report on the Israeli genocide in Gaza, reveals that she was threatened throughout her mandate.
It's been a difficult time. I've been attacked since the very beginning of my mandate. I don't say that it's been a pleasant journey, but I can tell you it's much more. I mean, most of the pain comes from where I have to observe and monitor and investigate day by day. Yeah, I do receive threats. Nothing that so far I have considered needing extra precautions. Pressure, yes, and it doesn't change either my commitment or the results of my work, I think. I say today that Israel cannot behave as it does as an apartheid state and face no consequences. And the second thing is that there is amnesia that the state of Israel, around the birth of the state of Israel, because it was the outcome not just of one tragedy, but it's connected to two tragedies. And one is very well known and absorbed, which is the tragedy, the horror of the Holocaust. The other, what it meant for the native people of Palestine, the creation of the state of Israel, dispossession, forced displacement, and this is history.
Jordanians have hit the streets of the capital, Amman, for the third consecutive night in support of Palestinians while demanding an end to ties with the Israeli regime. The protesters gathered near the Israeli embassy and condemned the ongoing genocide in Gaza. They chanted slogans, carried placards, and waved Palestinian flags. For months, Jordanians have been calling on their government to cancel all treaties with Israel, shut down the regime's embassy, and stop Jordan being a transit for goods into Israel. Jordan, which hosts 2.4 million Palestinian refugees, has witnessed a number of rallies since Israel launched its war on Gaza. Meanwhile, Moroccans also staged pro-Palestine rally and asked their government to end its normalization deal with Tel Aviv. Anti-Israeli sentiment remains high across the region as the regime presses on with its genocidal campaign in Gaza, despite a UN Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire. Ireland's foreign minister says Dublin will intervene in South Africa's genocide case against Israel at the International Court of Justice. Michael Martin said what is currently happening in Gaza constitutes a blatant violation of international humanitarian law on a massive scale. He said Israel is purposefully withholding aid delivery to Gaza and is targeting civilians and the territory's infrastructure. He noted that the regime indiscriminately uses explosive weapons in populated areas and uses civilian objects for military purposes. Martin said such measures amount to the collective punishment of an entire population, adding that this has to stop. In January, the World Court ordered Israel to refrain from any acts that could fall under the Genocide Convention and ensure its troops commit no genocidal acts against Palestinians. Canada-based rights activist Firas El-Najm says while the Israeli regime is losing, its allies' support for Palestine is growing worldwide.
I think that Israel is losing their allies and they're losing lots of support, and also that the freedom seekers and the people that want freedom for Palestine are actually growing. You can see that they're growing in universities, in high schools, in elementary schools, even at a young age of kids, that they're also getting more awareness and active in their schools. There's protests happening in elementary schools. So when you see something like that, you see it's very significant. And then we can see that even in companies and, in the medical field, hospitals, doctors, they're all speaking out against all these crimes, and they're making stands. And some of them are actually sacrificing their jobs. They're sacrificing their livelihood. They're sacrificing their incomes. And they're willing to do that because they feel that this is a conscious and humanitarian cause that they should stand up for. And it's truly human rights that you're standing up for when you stand up for Palestine, because Palestinians are the most, abused people from the Zionist regime and the criminals.
Russia says it's extremely hard to believe that Daesh terrorist group has the capacity to launch last week's deadly shooting attack on a concert hall in Moscow. Russia's foreign ministry spokeswoman said the West had rushed to pin responsibility on Daesh to deflect blame from Ukraine and its Western allies. Maria Zakharova said the United States is covering up for Ukraine, adding that Washington's bias and involvement in this issue is evident. Her comments came after Russia's Federal Security Service suggested that not only Ukraine, but also the U.S. and the U.K. may have been behind the shooting. Russian President Vladimir Putin has also said that the terrorists behind the attack were caught while fleeing towards Ukraine. The U.S., U.K., and Ukraine have denied any involvement in the shooting, which left more than 140 people dead. Political commentator Eric Wahlberg says those behind Moscow's terrorist attack seek to drag Russia into a second front to weaken it against Ukraine.
This ISIS Khorasan is really, it's a figment of the sea. Well, it's actual, I guess. There are some kind of token Khorasanis, but I'm sure that this is a CIA front. Its purpose is to make a second front for Russia. It's not only Ukraine, it's now got to try and activate the Chechnya and Tajikistan. Russia's had terrorist attacks, not a few. 2002, 2004, there were Chechen attacks in Moscow and elsewhere, and hundreds of people and children were killed. So Russia's not without such attacks.
Senior citizens are often said to be the biggest domestic victims of Europe's failed sanctions campaign against Russia. Pensioners protested across France as inflation and more austerity continues to gut their purchasing power and standard of living. Rami Mazari reports from Paris.
Pensioners rallied in hundreds of towns and cities in France against President Emmanuel Macron's determination for even more austerity cuts amid the inflation crisis. When campaigning in 2017, Macron promised he wouldn't cut pensions and that their purchasing power relative to inflation would be preserved. 7 years later, inflation has progressed 17%, while pensions have been increased just 8%. Along with his widely protested pension rollback and age hike by decree in 2023, the gap between inflation increases and pension increases may explain why perhaps no sector of society has turned against Macron more than retirees. Paris has warned there will soon be a second round of austerity cuts to the already austerity 2024 budget.
There are so many retirees who live on less than 900 euros per month, and everyone should be able to comprehend how difficult that is. Many of us have also diseases like cancer and diabetes, and I can promise you that none of us asked for them. We deserve dignity, and not to be treated like we are some sort of lower class citizen just because we have finished our working career.
An alternative to public service cuts would be increased taxes on the rich or corporate shareholders. But the Macron administration said it doesn't want to go digging into the pockets of the French. As the average household is still reeling from COVID and the disastrous backfiring of Europe's sanctions on Russia, a report from Oxfam found that France's billionaire families have gained 230 billion euros since 2020. That's enough to give a check of 3,400 euros to every single French person. Ramin Mazahari, Paris.
That's it with the world news.
When the whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless.
Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee, so recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household, and make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Ayahs, 30 days. A monotheist person not only reflects on the noble Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors, peace be upon them. Every faithful person, too, according to the extent that they had learnt from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, embarked on this heavy duty. So the ulama or Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job until present day. Today this duty has become even more important because of a broad assault of the enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. Today, in the 17th episode of this series, we're going to dwell upon ayahs 39 and 40 of Surah Hajj of the Holy Quran and explain its message of struggling against oppression. Please stay with us. It is very important in Islam to know wrongdoing and oppression. It has even been understood by oppressors and wrongdoers themselves. That's why they try to show their wrongdoing as trivial in the eyes of the people. This is what we can see in cyberspace today. In other words, oppressors and violators of human rights try to exonerate themselves of any wrongdoing and try to justify their heinous crimes that they have committed. Nowadays, the crimes taking place in Gaza are called self-defense by the media, whereas it's an extra oppression enforced on a nation which has suffered from occupation, massacre, and all sorts of crimes and tortures over the past 75 years. The Palestinian people have been denied their basic rights, their right to determine their own fate, and other fundamental rights, while the image of the occupying regime is being beautified and shown innocent more than ever. After 75 years that the oppressed people of Palestine have decided to take on the brutal Israeli regime with their armed struggle, this is being portrayed as a wrongdoing by the Zionist regime. Allah, in ayahs 39 and 40 of Surah Hajj in the Holy Quran, says, "Those who are fought against are permitted to fight because they have been wronged, and Allah is indeed able to help them. Those who were expelled from their homes unjustly only because they said Allah is our Lord. Had not Allah repulsed the people from one another, ruin would have befallen the monasteries, churches, synagogues, and mosques in which Allah's name is mentioned greatly. And Allah will surely help those who help him. Indeed, Allah is strong and invincible. For sure, Allah has allowed the oppressed in the world to help them, and he has promised to help them." Now you may well ask, why doesn't God himself uproot oppression? The answer has been given in Ayah 4 of Surah Muhammad in the Holy Quran. That is Allah's ordinance, and had Allah wished, he could have taken vengeance on them, but he may test some of you by means of others. No doubt, the growth and perfection of human beings will occur in tests and hardships. When a seed wants to grow to turn into a robust tree, it should be put in the soil and tolerate the pressure of the soil. Then it goes deep into the soil to come up and grows to become a sapling and then a tree. The Almighty has ordained oppressors a means for testing the faithful and helping them grow. This will distinguish a faithful person from an unfaithful person. The world is the scene of combat and conflict between faith and disbelief, justice and injustice. This will cause flourishing of capacities and potentials. Another question which may cross your mind is, how do oppressors become powerful? The answer is clear. An oppressor becomes powerful when some people accept his wrongdoing and are indifferent towards his wrongdoing. An emphatically recommended principle in Islam is that we should neither wrong nor be wronged. Ayah 279 of Surah Baqarah in the Holy Quran tells the faithful that they neither wrong anyone nor are they wronged by others. According to the hadith, there are many oppressed in hell who are suffering the punishment of hell because they were able to repulse oppression, but they didn't, and this made the oppressor intrepid and more oppressive. Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, 3 days before Ashura, quoting from his grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said, "Anyone who sees an oppressive ruler turning God's haram or forbidden act into halal or permitted act, breaching Allah's covenant, opposing the practice of Allah's messenger, wronging among the servants of Allah, but then he does not oppose him verbally or practically, it behooves Allah to cast him in the place of that oppressive ruler." We should not forget that being pleased with the deed of an oppressive person is equal to oppression. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says, "Anyone who is pleased with the deed of a people is like the one who has accompanied them, and he who turns towards a falsehood has in fact committed two sins, the sin of doing the false deed and the sin of being pleased with it." As a matter of fact, being pleased with falsehood is not a petty sin, and will incur God's punishment. For instance, the people of Thamud, the people of Prophet Saleh, didn't oppose the divine order about the camel, which was the miracle of Prophet Saleh, peace be upon him. Only one man cut off the camel's legs and killed it, but God punished them all. Why? Because they were pleased with the action. Now the Zionist regime is massacring Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, with full support of the United Countries, while most of the Arab governments are just spectators to the crimes being committed by the Israeli regime. The so-called international organizations are also tacitly looking on as the genocide wreaked by the Israelis is unfolding in Gaza. For sure, these organizations and governments are complicit in the Israeli regime's crimes and atrocities in Gaza. All these governments and organizations are able to at least express their opposition in public, but not a single word is heard from them. Yet, we believe that the oppressed people of Palestine and all the oppressed peoples of the world will take revenge. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The day of the oppressed against the oppressor is harsher than the day of the oppressor against the oppressed.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Tonight on Exposé, U.S. President Joe Biden's electoral propaganda aims to gain American public favor during low Israeli occupation pressure, establishing a pier in Gaza while refusing to open land borders. Now, skepticism hits Western mainstream media, pointing that Zionist Israel's obstruction is still a problem. But it will now arise at the distribution stage, rather at the point of entry, thanks to the Biden pier plan in Gaza. And social media users see this Biden pier plan for Gaza as a dark joke, claiming the only reason for this plan is to loot gas located on the coast of Gaza and to allow more land grab for the Zionist occupation. Welcome to Exposé, the show that leaves no stone unturned. Zionist Israel seems to be in line with the announcement by U.S. President Joe Biden to establish a floating port off the shores of Gaza under the pretext of significantly increasing the flow of humanitarian aid to the largest concentration camp in the world. This reconciliation by the regime of Benjamin Netanyahu carries many messages in line with the objectives of their own genocidal war. Let us hear from Fuad Itayim, our broadcast expert and writer at The Cradle, for more about this fake news expose. Is there any doubt that the U.S. plan to establish a temporary pier off the coast of Gaza is suspicious and dubious and goes beyond the goal of aiding the Palestinian people? Whatever the answer is, the debate has opened the door to executing other alarming objectives, such as forced displacement plans and more land grab under humanitarian and other pretexts. Fuad, how was the tide in Western broadcast media when it came to this humanitarian pier?
So there's little to no doubt that the order by U.S. President Joe Biden to establish this temporary port in Gaza is an attempt to appease U.S. public opinion and is part of his electoral propaganda, given the upcoming elections. And given that it's coming at a time when there's been no real pressure by the U.S. administration exerted on Israel to force them into bringing in the aid, into stopping their crimes against the Palestinian people, or to facilitate the entry of any of the convoys into the Gaza Strip, which Israel is continuing to block. So starting off with ABC News, you could immediately tell that this was part of Biden's electoral propaganda. Biden speaking as if he has no decisions made inside Israel, when we know, we've seen clearly over the past 6 months that they're partners in crime. So let's take a look at what Biden said last week and how ABC used it to portray this idea of a fake feud with Netanyahu.
70,000 injured, according to the Hamas-run health ministry. President Biden defending Israel's right to pursue Hamas, but warning Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu the scale of civilian suffering in Gaza is damaging Israel's international reputation.
He must pay more attention to the innocent lives being lost as a consequence of the actions taken. He's hurting, in my view, he's hurting Israel more than helping Israel.
The president's plan to build a temporary pier off Gaza for aid shipments now in...
Well, that was something out of a script from a movie, if you will, claiming that he's actually telling Netanyahu that he must stop what he's doing.
So the Biden administration is trying to portray this rift between the U.S. and Israel, which is to say the least accurate, as the two sides have shown the entire world recently that they're hand in hand waging a genocide against the Palestinian people and starving them.
Exactly.
U.S. media is also trying really hard to separate Netanyahu from Israel, to portray this idea that Netanyahu is worse than other Israeli leaders, or that they don't all share the same views, which, of course, we know is untrue. Anyway, in the same ABC report, when asked about when aid would enter Gaza, reporter Tom Burridge gave two contradicting answers, one according to officials in the Biden administration and other according to the Pentagon.
These are people from the same Biden administration, by the way.
Well, Rachel, officials say that World Central KitchenAid in Cyprus will take 2 to 3 days to arrive at an undisclosed location in Gaza after it departs. In terms of that US-made pier off the coast, well, Pentagon officials estimate that could be completed in about 2 months. Rachel?
So it's conflicting reports coming from the same side, which is a bit suspicious here.
Yeah. Next, we have a report by Voice of America where they actually give a platform to a Palestinian medical professional who explains how Israel controls the borders and is constantly denying the entry of aid, which amounts to a crime against humanity. Deliberate starvation of civilians is a violation of the laws of war and is subject to criminal prosecution. But then Voice of America goes on to whitewash these crimes and claim that the U.S. and its regional puppet states tried their best to get around these airdrops, which we saw were extremely insufficient. In fact, U.S. airdrops actually killed some civilians, didn't save them,
definitely,
as we saw. And Voice of America is actually a U.S. U.S. government-funded outlet, by the way.
Yeah, I was a bit optimistic that they gave the floor to a person from Gaza to begin with, but then again, they end up like this.
That the situation has deteriorated for a couple of reasons, and we're at the point that we are because there is a bottleneck. There used to be three entrances into the Gaza Strip. Israel controlled two of them, and Egypt controls one of them. Now, only one out of the three is partially functioning.
To get around those blockades, regional partners began dropping aid packages from the sky. Over the weekend and on the eve of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, the Jordanian Air Force over Gaza dropped pallets filled with flour, rice, baby formula, and water. And the United States Air Force dropped more than 88 bundles of aid said to contain nearly 53,000 meals and 23,000 bottles of water.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so focusing on this charade of dropping aid instead of explaining to us why the U.S. is not pushing Israel or pressuring Israel into lifting the blockade and opening the borders and letting all this aid in, it's just another level of manipulation and deceit, Marwa. I mean, starvation of civilians as a method of warfare is an offense under the legislation of many states, including the United States of America. But American mainstream media doesn't question it. And instead, it's engaging in running news stories like election promotions to support Biden against Trump. It's never been about the civilian lives in Gaza.
And never will be. And I think they might even use Gaza to try and elevate the position of Biden against that of Trump.
Exactly.
So that's what America's plan is. But I want to thank you very much, Fouad, for being
thank
with
you
us
so much for having me.
To tell us about this matter on this segment. Now we move on to digital mainstream media. Palestinian people in Gaza have every right to question the significance of the American step to build a floating port on the shores of their decimated Gaza at a time when the United States of America could effectively impose aid entry through alternative means, such as compelling the opening of border crossings and delivering assistance via land routes through international institutions, particularly the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA. Here's more about this with our own mainstream media expert, Julia Qasim. Thank you for being with us, Julia.
Thanks, Marwa. So the U.S. plan to build this floating port off the Gaza coast is reminiscent of the Mulberry harbors built after D-Day in Normandy. Mm-hmm. But let's make no mistake, this is a preemptive move to basically install a U.S. military base in Gaza.
No doubt.
And as the Biden administration is basically bankrolling Israel's genocide, the same Israel will also have a say in determining what at all goes through that port, essentially. Mm-hmm. So it also raises a lot of questions for the north of Gaza, which has been completely cut off from aid throughout this whole genocide. So these concerns were not only raised in pro-Palestinian outlets, Marwa, but also in The Guardian, the UK-based outlet, where on March 8th, Julian Borger, The Guardian's World Affairs editor, published a piece titled, "Who is going to distribute it? The key flaw in the U.S.'s plan to build aid port in Gaza." Mm-hmm. So in this piece, The Guardian quotes Ziad Issa, a humanitarian policy head at the Action Aid charity, saying, "People say this is a complex situation, but it's very simple. Israel is not allowing aid to get into the Gaza Strip." Mm-hmm. So Ziad Issa's UK-based organization had previously dealt with Israeli embargoes on aid headed to Gaza multiple occasions before, when the Zionist entity rejected vital items like food, shelter kits and medical aid. Mm-hmm. So he says that although Biden administration officials had presented the plan as Washington taking leadership and not waiting for the Israelis, Israeli inspectors will be in the Cypriot port of Larnaca scrutinizing cargoes of aid going into southern Gaza, and the inspections will provide Israel a tool with which to regulate the flow in the name of security vetting. Mm-hmm. So the Guardian also spoke with Jeremy Corndyke, a former senior aid official in the Biden administration and now president of Refugees International Aid Advocacy Group, who asked a very important question. Who is going to distribute the aid?
Definitely. That's what was. That's what all of us are thinking.
Right. So he then says the aid organization's presence in northern Gaza is pretty close to zero because the Israelis have wanted everyone out and then have been restricting access to the north ever since. So Marwa, Kondike touches upon a very important aspect of this proposed new plan to supposedly alleviate famine in Gaza. Since this peer plan doesn't obviate the problem of the whole obstruction by Israel in the first place.
Definitely.
But rather than being a problem at the entry point, it's now going to be a problem at the distribution stage.
Which, by the way, we've seen them killing people, whether it's on the route or through the distribution phase or either after they get the aid that they need. So they're still killing people. Now they want to take control of the aid, and no one knows what they will do next.
Exactly. So they've used the distribution of aid as a pretext to cause more massacres, such as the multiple flower massacres or even in the aid drops. Mm-hmm. But another take about the proposed Biden pier in Gaza, it was brought by the Zionist Israeli Ynet newspaper, where Ynet explicitly stated that it is all an attempt to appease public opinion from the Biden administration, which is already has its legitimacy in question. So the Ynet wrote that the reason behind this proposed plan is that Biden's political conundrum. He has vested need to placate the Democratic Party base, which has come to include Muslim Americans and various pro-Palestinian activists. Erecting the new pier, Biden hopes, will demonstrate the administration's seriousness when it comes to safeguarding the lives of Palestinian civilians. So after Al Marwa, we saw with the uncommitted campaign in several primaries so far, the progressive wing of the party and its voters voted, you know, non-committed instead of voting for the 81-year-old incumbent, making it a protest vote, essentially, against his pro-Israel stance in Gaza. So you can see how much legitimacy is really lost in his administration. So the Zionist Ynet newspaper also quoted the Deputy Pentagon Press Secretary, Sabrina Sink, saying that no U.S. forces would set foot in Gaza, a way to reassure Americans that the United States is not putting troops on the ground in yet another Middle East conflict. However, the Ynet found that to be a suspicious statement, rotating back to the question posed by The Guardian as to who will unload and distribute the aid if U.S. troops are not there to set foot in Gaza and if Israel is to control what gets in and what doesn't. So again, there's no logical way around it, with at least seven other potential distribution points across Gaza. It's not a pretext to get U.S. boots on the ground. We don't believe it.
It's lie, and lie then some more with this administration and its puppet regime in Zionist Israel. Thank you very much, Julia, for presenting to us what the mainstream and the Zionist entity media was speaking about this very dubious plan by the Biden administration. Now, ladies and gents, we move on to social media expose. In interpreting the significance of Biden's Gaza Pier initiative, its motives and its objectives, social media is divided into two camps. The first camp assumes goodwill and believes that the purpose of this step is to restore the reputation of the Biden administration after it went too far in supporting the criminal genocidal war currently being waged by Zionist Israel on Gaza, while the second camp operates on the assumption that the Biden administration is involved and complicit in this dirty genocidal war, making it impossible for it to undertake any initiative that might hinder the plans and objectives that the Israeli occupation seeks to achieve. Here is Sima Itayim, our social media expert and editor at The Cradle, with more. Floor is yours, my dear.
Thank you, Marwa. So in reality, it's very difficult to separate this suspicious port initiative from the Biden administration's overall policy since the start of the Al-Aqsa flood battle, because the administration adopted the Israeli narrative from the beginning, where, you know, they claimed that Israel had been subjected to a terror attack. It was that simple. Mm-hmm. Hamas had, you know, massacred civilians, raped hundreds of women, decapitated dozens of children. Mm-hmm. And despite all of this being debunked, the Biden administration continues to adopt this narrative, as we saw in his State of the Union address last week. Mm-hmm. So social media has a lot to say about this sinister port initiative.
Let's hear what they said.
So, well, there was this one, Ihab Al-Harbi, who posted a video that was published by the Israeli entity of the Israeli occupation forces supervising the construction of this American pier off Gaza's coast. Ihab then posted, Israel's military published footage of its forces supervising the construction of the American pier off the Gaza coast. The protector is the thief and the killer.
Well, I second his tweet.
So moving on, we have another post on X criticizing the construction of this Zionist-controlled port from Murad Abu Saad, who tweeted, it's a ludicrous, absurd comedy. What madness and planning is this? America cannot pressure Israel and Egypt to open the crossings, deliver aid, and provide secure areas for distribution. Has America reached such a level of incapacity? Or is the construction of this port a spectacle for public opinion in America and the world, portraying America as exerting maximum effort to provide aid to the Palestinian people? America is a malicious player in these massacres, complicit in creating the suffering of the Palestinian people and complicit in starving them. Completing this port would take 2 months, and Gaza needs urgent assistance. Stop your malicious games and open the crossings.
Can I say amen?
You know, last time we talked about the aid drops and how they were not efficient. This is also not efficient. We know it has other motives.
Exactly.
Not only because it will take over 60 days, but because it's not feasible.
And it has been planned since 2014, by the way. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. Security control. Mm-hmm. So we move on to a post by James Ray at Good Vibe Politic, who quote tweeted a post by The Hill saying, Biden to announce U.S. military-led mission to build port on Gaza coast to boost aid. Mm-hmm. James said, instead of ending the genocide Biden is actively participating in, he's proposing airdrops and some absurd plan to build a port that likely will cumulatively bring in a fraction of what could come in if the aid trucks sitting outside of Gaza were allowed in. A sick, cruel joke.
It is, and it's not even close to funny for the people inside of Gaza.
We also have Megatron Ron, who brought it home by hitting every nail there is in his ex post, saying, the Pentagon on the temporary Gaza port said, we will likely need 1,000 American soldiers. Biden also announced that Israelis will secure the temporary port to provide aid to Gaza. The same Israelis that are blocking the aid and starving 2.2 million people in Gaza will be commissioned to secure the transfer of aid to the Strip through the U.S. military-built port. The purpose is already known, the extraction of the gas located on the coast of Gaza, which was also written about by the Jerusalem Post. Today, Israeli media also wrote that the invasion of Gaza has stalled and there is no progress. Hamas hold their positions firmly. Therefore, it is not excluded that these troops will join the IDF.
Wow.
You see, it was the Biden administration that provoked all these concerns that we're seeing on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Because the U.S. not only provided the weapons that it's been in this war that it's been waging on Gaza for almost 6 months, but it also ensured political cover for Israel in everything that it's doing and prevented the imposition of sanctions on Israel, which many have called for at this point, regardless of the magnitude of these blatant violations, this unprecedented genocide that's being waged against these people that violates all treaties and conventions and norms.
And thanks to their veto, they didn't even allow the UNSC to take proper ceasefire agreements or to impose any kind of ceasefire against Zionist Israel. Thank you very much for the latest on social media, especially X platform, Sima, for showing us what the world is actually seeing. It's like for the first time, this image, this imaginary image of what Zionist Israel is has been completely broken. Thank you for showing this to us. Now, ladies and gents, we move on to Figures Exposé. A new survey from Data for Progress asked likely U.S. voters about various foreign policy issues, particularly related to the ongoing Zionist genocidal war on Gaza. When asked if they approve or disapprove of the way Joe Biden is handling the Israeli entity war on Gaza, voters disapproved by a negative 21-point margin, with 57% disapproving and 36% approving. This margin has increased since Data for Progress started polling this question in early November, with approval highest in late November after the last temporary ceasefire began.
However, disapproval of President Biden's handling of the Israeli entity war in Gaza is driven primarily by Republicans, with 79% expressing disapproval, while a majority of Democrats, 61%, approve of Biden's handling of the conflict by a plus 31-point margin. This margin is only about half the margin of Democrats' approval for Biden's overall job performance, which is plus 60. Around two-thirds of voters, 67% of them, including the majority of Democrats, 77%, Independents, 69%, and Republicans, 56%, support the U.S. calling for a permanent ceasefire and a de-escalation of violence in Gaza. This represents a six-point increase in support for U.S. calling for a permanent ceasefire since Data for Progress last polled this question in November, with a 12-point increase among Independents. Now, let us move on to the most notable expose voices for this week. The Biden administration realizes that the most effective way to alleviate the humanitarian suffering of Palestinians facing genocide in Gaza is to push for a ceasefire and to open the land crossings, especially in the Rafah crossing, where hundreds of trucks loaded with food, medicine, and temporary shelter supplies are lined up. It also understands that any other approach besides this one is bound to fail. Now, Mud's Eye Real News on TikTok reposted a video by Al Jazeera English professor Norman Finkelstein, who is a renowned American political scientist, exactly explaining why the Biden pier is an absolute dark joke.
President Biden has turned the Gaza into a photo op for himself. There's no problem with getting food and medicine to the periphery of Gaza. There are hundreds of trucks which are ready to go in. It doesn't change anything one whit if there is a floating pier on the border periphery of Gaza. That's not the problem. The problem is getting the food and the medicine from the periphery to the people. And Israel is blocking that. It's blocking it both physically and also by its continued indiscriminate bombing to terrorize the civilian population. There's something truly sickening when the President of the United States turns the martyrdom of the people of Gaza into an election year photo.
Now, Preston Stewart also raised important questions about the new Gaza Pier project, about other cheaper and faster options to alleviate Zionist-imposed famine on Gaza. Let us hear what Preston had to say.
If this whole process, the Gaza Pier, seems overly complicated and confusing, I'm with you. It is. It's still hard for me to understand how this is the best solution. If the goal for this specific project is to provide more aid in a timely manner to the people of Gaza, there are other solutions. Airdropping aid day after day is not the end-all, be-all solution. That's never going to meet the volume that's necessary. But Israel has port facilities that are open today to facilitate large ships. I haven't seen any conversation about why can't those ports be used, the aid come in, and then they're facilitated down into the Gaza Strip. I understand there's some challenges with getting aid across the border, with Israel having the appropriate security mechanisms in place to search those vehicles before they go in, but could that not be more easily resolved than building a pier from scratch by the United States, setting sail from the United States to put that together? Not entirely clear how this is the best solution for what the various parties are trying to achieve.
And my personal favorite about this topic came from a TikTok account named That Politics Fella, who hinted that U.S. troops in Gaza are just sitting ducks in a hostile neighborhood, as they should.
How clueless is President Biden? He's going to put U.S. interests near Gaza to build a port. Doesn't he remember what happened in Lebanon back in the 80s under Reagan? When the people who hate us have an opportunity to kill us, they usually do.
Ladies and gents, with that, we conclude our expose for tonight. Stay tuned for more eye-opening investigations right here on Expose. The truth is just a revelation away.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special.
There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Muslim Ladies. Well, once again, I have the honor and the pleasure to be here as your host. This is Asma, of course. And here with me, I have the pleasure to sit with Sister Nahid. She's a researcher on women's study. And then let her talk about herself. So, assalamu alaikum, sister.
Assalamu alaikum to you and all your dear listeners. This is Nahid, and I'm so honored to be with you today.
Thank you for my coming pleasure. Here. So, previously on Muslim Lady, we started this topic of how to get into a perfect marriage and what are the most important factors of a healthy marriage. Now, we went through some points that were so much important, like a marriage starts with awareness. Both sides must have an awareness. And aside from that awareness, which comes out of a study, knowledge, maturity, and experience, like not you yourself, because we live only once and it's impossible to have too many lives. But then you can have it from the experience of other people. You can have it from the advices that come to you from other people who have been there and done that. So this was the very important part. And also we got to the fact that there must be a compatibility, like the person you pick as your match must match your own perspective, must match your own way of thinking and the goals you're setting for your future. Like, you must not be too lined.